Hey everyone, welcome to the Worcester Church of the Nazarene podcast. Relationships are hard. No matter where you are in your relationship journey, relationships are just hard. But according to God, relationships matter. So what does God's word say about our relationships with one another? Stay tuned for part one of our new series, Aim High. This one is titled, Foundations.
We're going to begin a new series today called Aim High. And it's going to be about relationships. It's going to go through February, all month. And I was laughing to myself when I was doing my notes. I said, we'll call February Loveuary. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, some of you know that code and language, what that's about. But unless you've been sleeping every time you've been in the church, you have probably heard this, and it's so true, that we believe that relationships matter. Relationships matter, and that everything rises and falls on relationships. And I want to really dig into that beginning today as we introduce it. Aim high. So we're going to go to God's word for truth. We're also receiving inspiration from Pastor Michael Todd. He's known for his series and a book called Relationship Goals. But let's dive into God's word together and to learn how we can be successful in our relationships. So important. Knowing that this is true, we can choose the right path and we can live the way God intends us to live when it comes to relationship matters. Man, oh man, I got to tell you as a pastor, one of the things I see in the real dangers, and we often blame God for, but we so often compartmentalize our lives. And you know what I mean by that? It's like I give you God all this, but I don't give you that. And I want to tell you where I see one of the greatest failures to recognize God and surrender to Him is when it comes to our relationships. Okay, with Him, but with each other. And thus, a whole boatload of heartaches and all because we've left that part out. And I often say, and I'll say it again, whatever area you compartmentalize today, it's just like, you're sealing off all the doors and windows, but you're leaving the back door open and you're just inviting Satan to come in. Got it? Or, well, it's not the back door, it's an attic, or it'll be like bats in the belfry or whatever. But it's true. If we compartmentalize a lot, any place we leave out, we're inviting the enemy in to do his dirty work. And so we want to redirect some of those thoughts today. So as we work through this series, We recognize that it's going to hit all of us at a different place. We're a different place on the journey. But regardless of the last 2 years, we all have to do relationships. Relationships are a part of your life. Relationships have a lot to do with where you're at today, how you feel today, whether you're up, you're down. Come on, think about it. Some of the brief conversations I've had with people, it's about the relationships. Your heart's aching or breaking. It could be good. It could be difficult. So you could be single. Yeah, and you could be thriving in that. That's fine. You may be happily or unhappily married today. You wouldn't maybe say it for years. There are people listening that have gone through or going through the heartache of divorce. You may be feeling totally alone without hope of a healthy relationship. Maybe there's relationships at work or the family that are so strained and it's got you stressed out today. Or you may be at the top of the mountain or somewhere on the journey, and you may be thriving at work and family, whatever. But here's what I want you to think about as we look at relationships. We're going to look at this one and this one today for just a little bit. Where do you want to be on this relational journey 1 year from today? Are you satisfied? I've been telling you that. I can't remember where I heard it or read it, but saying, you know, a lot of times we mistake. We think that God's satisfied. He's pleased, but He's not satisfied. In our relationships, we're pleased, but we're not satisfied, because when you're satisfied, it's done and it's over. And the better relationship is, the more we want more of it. Agreed? There's that desire for more closeness. And that's what I want you to think about. And then in this culture, because we're going to contrast God's word and our cultural standards for relationships. And I just want to ask you, I want you to think about this. We really need to go deep about this. Who or what or where are you going to get your relational advice and guidance on what a healthy relationship looks like? Come on. There's a source. There's a source from it. When I was really in my athletic days before my body started falling apart, and I remember being in many locker rooms, oh my lands, the things I heard about relationships growing up in locker rooms, they were the stupidest things I ever heard. But I didn't know that then, but I do know now. So you have a source. And I think we've gotten so careless about where we go for our sources of truth. And we've got to wake up about that because we are being influenced. Somebody said something to me that I jotted down and changed a little bit, but I put it this way. When you try to dance with the devil, he'll lead you where you don't want to go. You won't change him, he'll change you. Think about that. Where are you going for your truth sources? That could be expanded beyond relationships, but we'll start there. So we're going to try to expose the lies in this series of our culture. And I like what Pastor Todd says. He says, the Bible, I couldn't agree more, is the greatest source of relational wisdom. And it's time we start applying it to relationships in real life and in real time. This isn't about how many Bibles you own or if you know where your Bible is. It's about how much you're getting the word in you, because it's only when it gets in you that it's transformational. And it's only when it gets in you that it's going to be properly applied in the context of your life and your home and your family and your relationships. I've come to this conclusion after years of doing what I'm doing now, a lot of years, 40-some, that almost everyone desires to have healthy relationships in their life. Even if you don't, you desire them. But the problem is, too often we try to take matters into our own hand. And the Old Testament passages I'm reading on my personal devotions, how many times in the Bible did you see huge messes come about because they didn't want to wait on God? They settled for Hagar or whatever the case may be. But we try to do things our own way. Oh, but hear me again. It's another way of saying the same thing. We end up taking our cues from a clueless culture instead of embracing and walking out God's plan that's in His Word. God's Word is better than any GPS you've ever seen in your life. There's no recalculating. His ways are always right. So what we're trying to emphasize today is that God has a plan for all, not some, but all our relationships. He will instruct and guide us in the way that we should go. And when we love Him and obey Him and trust Him, we'll discover that His ways always work best in the long run. It may go against our feelings. It may go against what we see and understand. But over time, it'll lead us where He wants us to go. So, that being said, we all must deal with the reality, face the reality of relationships, whatever shape they're in. So this series is for everyone. Don't check out on us. But never be mistaken. I want to tell you, good relationships always require hard work. Would you agree? Relationships are hard because, you know, they're not perfect and you are. And it's so hard to deal with imperfect people, isn't it? That's a joke, by the way. But I say at the same time, hurriedly, relationships are worth the investment. So together, let's learn to apply these life principles. Aim high. This series, in every form, every message, is going to be based on the truth of God's Word. We're going to keep coming back to God's Word. But I want to tell you, if we don't aim high, so to speak, as our series goes, if we don't have a target to aim at, this will be of little value. Was it Charlie Brown or one of his cohorts? You remember? I remember seeing a cartoon. I don't know if it was Linus or whoever, but he was doing some archery, and what he would do, he was shooting at a fence, and he'd just draw back and fling the arrow, and then wherever the arrow pierced and penetrated, he'd draw a circle around it, and like, I hit my target. Boy, isn't that the way we do life a lot? And then we tend to blame God so many times. I'm convinced we don't give God enough credit and we give Him way too much blame for too many things, because He's always working redemptively in our lives. So I want to leave with you three thoughts today before we get into baptism. And this really links to baptism because we're being identified publicly with Christ in this ceremony, this ritual today. So the first thing, as I mentioned, the key thought is this: God plans. How many of you know that God has plans? He plans it all together. And I want to remind you this, since, listen, before and after Jesus, no one on earth has or will address relationships with the authority or perspective of perfection. Jesus was the only one ever. And by the way, I just put my finger there because we've got tons of people at marriage conferences this week in Holmes County. There are two sessions, and we've got all kinds of people there. We've got classes going on. We've got kids galore here, that, and the other, here, there, and the other. But I told some of the couples that are back today from the marriage seminar, man, we ought to be sailing high after getting all this good input, right, from relationships. But we're always, our goal is we've not arrived. I don't believe in destinationalism until we get to heaven. We're always growing, and we're always getting better because we're never satisfied. Let me give you an example. My dad and my mom had a great marriage of 30-some years. I forget how many, but 30-some years. And as you know, if you've been here, the story was they were headed to Indiana in 1978, wasn't it, Dixie? And somebody ran a stop sign at Route 89, plowed into my mother's door, and she died immediately. And it was a tragic loss. My mom was classy. I mean, it didn't make sense. And, you know, I've been with you and my family trying to figure it all out. And it was really interesting. I still remember waving goodbye to my dad because I was the youngest and I was in college and we were home. It was during the January interim break, and I was the last one to leave. And I can still remember driving out of that driveway in Greentown, looking back over my shoulder, waving to my dad, and he was just standing there all alone. I felt horrible. I mean, I was thinking, what do I need to do? Do I need to drop out of college and come home and support my dad? I mean, I felt those things deep within. And then I got thinking about it, as I got back to college, I thought, you know, I can't, my dad, and I'm not advocating for this, but I just want to give an example. I said, I could never see my dad remarrying. My wife and my mother and he had such a great relationship, and it wasn't perfect, but it was so good, so good. But do you know, lo and behold, he did begin to date, and he met and married another gal, Marilyn, who had an only child whose husband had passed and was a godly person as well. She'd had 30-some years of a great marriage. And my dad ended up with not one great marriage, but two great marriages of more than 30 years. Isn't that significant? You know what that makes me go? Yay, God. Yay, God. But what I'm saying is this. I shouldn't have been surprised because my dad had such a great relationship with my mom that he was so pleased, but he wasn't satisfied. And that way he was so much more open to a new relationship. Does that make sense to you? No, you're not getting it. When we're so pleased, we want more of the same thing. If you've had a great intimate relationship with your spouse, you want more of that and more of that and more of that. You'll get it. It'll sink in. I have time to think about these things ahead of time. I just spring them on you. I thought that'd help you understand it more, but some of you are going, perplexion, perplexed, perplexed. So we use as a foundation his unchanging word. Let's go to Jeremiah 29, often used verse, but so powerful, about God's plans. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. And you know, if you have your Bible translation, you see that capitals, L-O-R-D, that means like sovereign I am, I mean the Lord of all. Wow, he said, I have plans for you, declares the Lord. And here are my plans. I'm not gonna give you all the details, but my plans are this. I wanna prosper you, and they're not to harm you, and I have plans to give you a hope and a future. How about that? Does that sound good to anybody today? No matter where you are, God says, I have plans, and it includes a hope and a future. Not just in heaven in the sweet by and by, though we look forward to that, but even here and now. Here and now. And could I just remind you that if you're walking through a Psalm 23, the Bible doesn't say you're walking to the valley of the shadow of death and you will fear evil. It says you're walking through it. Got it? That's not, the shadow of death is not our final destination. We're on a journey from here to heaven. I was thinking about it this way, God's plans and purposes. We've got to engage. A lot of us have devices or smartphones or whatever, and we all know. We are helpless and hopeless. We don't know how to get anywhere without our phone, without our GPS. You don't know the way to that place. You just say the address and you end up there. And then you can't even remember how you got there. Come on. And I was thinking about this. There's a huge difference where we set our destination, because no matter what our GPS says, we have to be the ones that enter the destination, the information. Agreed with that? Does your phone work that way? I've got to say where I'm headed. I've got to say, to visit my wife at Walmart, for example. And you think I'm kidding. And then I got thinking about it. I thought, there's a huge difference between setting your destination for Disney World or Disneyland. They're both Disney theme parks, but one's going to take you to Florida and one's going to take you to California. So take great care about the information that you load. Some of you are going to be, your head's going to hit the pillow tonight. You go, oh, that's what he meant by that. It's going to hit you. Proverbs 14:12. There is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. It feels right, but it ends in death. It feels all right because I can change them, but it ends in death and heartache and separation. And I want to tell you, when I think about that verse, that's what I said earlier. That's when I think about so many relational compromises. I got to tell you, I've done so many weddings over the years, of these 40-some years. I can't even keep track. I have it in my files. But I have repeatedly tried to talk people out of getting married because I know that there are dangers lurking there. How many times do you think I've been successful in talking anybody getting out of marriage? Anybody have a guess? A big fat zero. Because I'm going to change them. I just had somebody tell me that this week about looking back. I just knew I could change them or whatever. No, God's plans are right. And I just want to challenge you to know that God has plans, as I read to you, Jeremiah. It means that you're a part of something so much bigger than just you and your little world. I mean, that'll give great significance to know you're a part of God's ever-reaching plan. Isn't that something? It's so bigger than you and yours. What a joy it is. Jeremiah 1:5, God speaking. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Is that comforting? And you know, with the psalm, you were fearfully and wonderfully made. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. And I don't believe that's just in a particular case. I think that's a general statement of God's sovereignty and what he does in our lives as well. I formed you. God made his plans for us before we were born. And these plans are good. They'll give our lives value and significance and purpose and joy. And we all have the possibility and the potential of God-given purposes within us. Don't you love this scripture in Ephesians 2:10 that says, for we are, and some of you need to go, for I am, this is a mirror paster right here, I am God's masterpiece. He has created me anew in Christ Jesus so I can do the good things he planned for me long ago. I know it says us and it's for all of us, but I like to personalize it sometimes, don't you? Does God have plans for you? Yeah. And that's not just rearview mirror. Well, he did, he should have, but I missed a turn, I missed an exit, and it's a long way to the next one. No, he says to you right now, wherever you are, I have plans for you, and they're to prosper you and not harm you, but you can never get there if you choose to do it your way. It has to be my way, my way. He's God. He's Lord of all. He's created you uniquely with a purpose. The life experiences that you have and you're walking through, it's your unique fingerprint. And God can use you to touch other people. As I was talking with someone today, with credibility, because they know, you know whereof you speak. And it's not an identical situation, but you can come up next to them and your presence brings such comfort because you have authenticity. God has planted those things in our heart, and we all long for it. The Bible teaches from cover to cover, beginning in Genesis, and we won't spend time there today, but that we were created from relationship, and it all began with Adam and Eve. Agree? There's so much relationship in the first books of the first chapters of the first book of the Bible. The second thing, not only does God have plans, It's one thing to have a plan, and it's another thing to follow it. Dave Ramsey would say, the class is going on, it's one thing to have a budget, and it's another thing to follow it. It's another thing to apply it to the reality of your finances, for example. But the second thing that we see in our big thought for today is this, that God doesn't just give us plans, He guides us. Have you ever needed a guide? Have you ever been someplace where you would have been lost without a guide because your GPS didn't work? Come on. And you need somebody who knows the way. And God is that one. Our purpose comes from what God is doing in this world to build His kingdom. We need to discover His purposes in relationships. He wants us to follow the guidelines that He sets forth. Here it is. It kind of sums up our big thought in Psalm 32:8. The Lord says, again, boy, that's power packed. I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. Any testimonies out there? It may be really rough where you're going through right now, but it's still the best pathway for your life because God knows He has a plan and purpose, and He's going to use you through this valley beyond ways you thought you could ever be used before. If you let Him. If you'll just say yes. So much of our spiritual life is yes, 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 yes. That's how it begins. That's how it continues. Yes, yes, yes. All the way to heaven. I'll guide you. I'll advise you and watch over you. I'm telling you today that no matter what you may think or how you may feel or what you may not understand, you're not alone groping around in the dark. He guides us, the Bible said, along the best path, but that doesn't mean a pain-free life. Prospering and not harming us doesn't mean that we're not going to go through things that we feel like are just about to smother us. It happens. But we're not alone. He guides us along those paths. He leads us, as Psalm 23 says, He leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And how do you know that there's a path of righteousness no matter where you find yourself on the journey? There's a clear path. He watches over us. And the more we seek Him, the more we'll find Him. His ways, His will. Cultural views on relationships are just like a moving target. I guess that's the best thing I could say. They're just ever-changing. Would you agree with that? You agree with that? I mean, just, it's confounding. But God wants to guide us in this area towards successful relationships, and I want to explain how in just a moment. We must draw our foundational principles not from our culture and what our culture says, not from compartmentalizing, just offering most of ourselves to God. We can only do it as we offer Him all of ourselves and as we closely adhere to His word. To follow it, we've got to have it in us. Have I said that recently? God's word in this year, in us, in us, in us, in us. It's not about our feelings. And it's not about our culture. Let's check our sources. Let's go with God's word. I love Isaiah 48, don't you? This timeless passage, this timeless scripture that says, well, the grass withers and the flowers fade. It's a fact. But the word of God stands forever. Huh? So let's anchor to that unshakable source. Could we do that? God has given us His word. I believe He's given us His church also. To help us be relational winners. I want to be a relational winner, don't you? I do. I want to win in relationships. So let's look at that. God has plans, and they're good, even if it may not seem like it last night. If He's in control, if you're following Him, it's going to end up in a positive place as we look forward to eternity. Absolutely. Then He doesn't just say, here's the plan, you follow it. He guides us as we keep connected with Him in relationship. A relationship is more than coming to the cross and saying yes to Jesus. It's walking out that yes every day in every area of our life. Got that? It's a relationship. So many of us are relationally challenged, and that's why we're doing this. We don't know how to do this, and we don't know how to do that because we base that on this. Got it? So if we had a really great father, we don't have any problem of viewing God as God the Father, and it's good. But if our father was absent or whatever, we try to view God through that lens. No, we've got to view God, first of all, and He gives perspective on what father and motherhood should be. But we look to Him. We look to Him. All right. So God has plans. He guides. And I put this one this way. God wills, and I want to talk to you about that. Where do we begin this relational journey? I don't have any doubt or any qualms in saying unequivocally today, it's God's will for you to be in personal relationship with him through his son, Jesus Christ. Would you agree with that? It's God's will. That's why we rejoice so much over baptisms. When people say yes to Jesus, oh, we get excited about that. God's primary will for you today, whether you're here in this room, online, wherever you may be, is for you to have a relationship with him. That's not just going to church. It's not just filling in the blanks and knowing all the right answers. It is a relationship, a knowledge of. Some of you are mistakenly think that you know God because you know about him. You can tell the stories of God, but you've never come into a relationship because that's only by an act of your free will. God's primary will is for you to come into that love relationship. Pastor Todd writes, no matter what other relationships we have or don't have, all of us can have a relationship with God. Did you hear that? All of us can. There's no T-O-O qualification. Well, I could have, but I'm too whatever. That doesn't exist. Just cross that out of your mind and heart. That's what he wants. But our relationship with God must come first. Oh, how we get that out of whack. It is always to be above all other relationships. His word says in Exodus 23, remember I quote that all the time from this paraphrase, no other gods, only me. And how do you know that when you try to make a god out of a relationship that's earthly, it becomes an idol? And we look to a human for the things that only God can provide. All blessings flow out of this relationship. When God's first, then his blessings are poured out in unprecedented ways in everything that follows because we want our lives to align with his will. I think I could say this boldly as well, that I don't care whatever state you may be today in a relationship, your relationship could be better if God was first. No matter how good you think it is, it's not its best. Because that's the God factor. It can be enhanced by him. If it's this good without him, just think of how much better it could be with him. God is one, and the other person, no matter who that person is, that other person is a two, a distant two at best. An emotional, an intellectual, physical relationship is not enough. That doesn't mean you have a good relationship. You need God. And you and whoever need a Savior. Agreed? I guess what I'm really interested in your relationships, this way, horizontally, do you have a spiritual connection? Do you know that's the main thing that's usually left out? I talked about it maybe a year ago, and I don't know if I'll get it to at the end today. It just depends on the time here. But the truth of it is, the biggest marriage tip, and I don't know if they talked about it this weekend at all, but I could give you a marriage changer right now for intimacy with your spouse. Pray together. Do you know that's one of the most bonding things you can possibly do? Do you know that there's a very small, if we were honest today, there's a very small percentage of us that ever do that. Why? Why? Why would you not do the best thing for your relationship? Because Satan's in your ear getting you distracted. Because he doesn't want that for you. Come on, I want you to think about it. I wish we could have an anonymous vote here to see how many of us do that on a regular basis. God wills. He wants us to come into relationship with him. And it looks like this in Matthew 22:37. Jesus said, you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. God's saying, I must be first before all other relationships in your life. I'm the one who knows how to supply everything else in your life. I'm going to put the Old Testament commands together. Love God and love people. And you know what that produces? Living transformed. That's what it brings about, loving God and loving people. Selling out, settling it. The best human relationships that I know flow out of the overflow of a love relationship with God. He's the constant source. Ecclesiastes speaks to what I read earlier, 3:11. It says, yet God has made everything beautiful in its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. We can't try to figure him out. We can't try to put him in a box. This isn't all there is. We trust him. And we know he has plans for us. God, rich in his love and mercy and great grace, knew we'd always need to depend upon him as our source. We are to be God dependent. And he put that deep longing that nothing else can satisfy. He planted that deep in our hearts. You remember when he made man and he made creation in the early chapters of the Bible. He said it was good, good, good. And when he made man, he said it was very good. But listen to this. And then it reads on to say, Genesis 2:18, then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. In that, in the middle of all those goods and very goods, he said, it's not good. I will make him a helper who is just right for him. Wow, I've been thinking about that and the fact of it, that this is so true, that it's not good for us to be alone. And I think I've told you before that we're going to reap the dividends of these last 2 years in a negative way for a long time, because isolationism is never intended for us. It's not good. It's not good. It's not healthy spiritually. In fact, I've been thinking about this, and maybe I can't remember if I had it later, but I got to tell you, from my point of view, you know, I've walked with the Lord a lot of times, but do you know when my greatest temptations are? When I'm alone. Maybe that changes when you get older, because maybe, you know, when I was in the locker room and stuff, maybe it could be more of a group thing, though I don't know if it was for me, but when I'm alone, that's when I'm vulnerable. Are you with me? And so the Lord's saying, what's one of the best practical things we can do? We can be in meaningful, God-honoring relationships that help us to do right. Accountability isn't somebody chasing us around, checking up on us. It's us giving them the permission to explain where we are. Not just physically, spiritually, emotionally, whatever the case may be. It's not good for man to be alone. And I'm mixing these two, but I want to end up here in a moment with our relationship with God. We're so vulnerable when we're alone. That's where the enemy can attack us in the dark hour of the nighttime and whisper things in our ear that are lies. But I was thinking about this in Ecclesiastes, you know, the scripture, chapter 4, that says, two people are better off than one. They can help each other succeed. If one person falls, another can reach out and help. But when someone who falls is alone, they're in real trouble. We could have testimonies out there. Likewise, it goes on, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. Oh, that's a good thing, isn't it? Yeah, especially if it's your spouse. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Oh, is God one of those strands of that triple braided cord? I pray that he is. I pray that he is. I remember when I was, must have been about in fifth grade, I was at my cousin's at Green Lake in northern Indiana, and we'd go there to visit my uncle and aunt, and we went to the swimming hole. It was a lake, and my brother was there. He was an excellent swimmer, went elsewise. I was there, kind of a channel, and I tried to swim across it, but I didn't know how to swim, and I got about three quarters, and then I lost it, and I didn't know what was up, what was down. If any of you have had a near-drowning experience, you know you just lose all sense. Anybody have one of those ever? You just lose all sense of whatever could be. And I knew this, that I couldn't save myself. I knew I was drowning, but I couldn't do a thing about it. I didn't know where the surface was, where the bottom was. I knew nothing about that. It was only because of my sister's frantic, blood-curdling screams that brought my brother across knee-deep, thigh-deep water to pull me out just in the nick of time. We can't save ourselves. We can't fix ourselves. We need him. We need others to help us on the journey. When we're in relationship with Jesus and godly people, it opens the door for us to know God's plan and to grow through his instruction and guidance that we talked about early, to be open to it. Other people are like the cavalry coming, you know? Have you ever been working hard and you didn't think you could do it yourself, and other people show up to help you, and it's just like a whole new perspective? That's how it is in our spiritual walk. We need each other. One of my life verses from Romans is 12:2 that says, "But don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect." That's my question for you today. Do you really believe that God in His sovereignty has plans for you that are good and pleasing and perfect from this point forward? He does. Will you sell out to that? Will you grasp that? Will you embrace that? When we're living transformed in God's mercy and grace and power, when we come to know who He is and who we are, we'll know His will and we'll be able to move forward one step at a time. So I'll say it again. God has a plan for all of our relationships, and He will instruct us and guide us as we love Him, trust Him, and obey Him. I've come across this thought in several places, but let's go back to the story, the relational love story between God and Adam and Eve and with each other. What a story it was. Adam had a passion for God in those early days and a purpose before God gave him a person. Did you catch that? Adam was working in the garden within his intended purpose before God gave him the person, that person being Eve. And that's a life principle repeated throughout the Bible. And that's a life principle for us as well. He wants us to come to a place of contentment. It all begins with God and His purpose for our lives. Pastor Todd says it this way. I love some of his quotes. He said, "The right person is always on the other side of the right purpose." Did you catch that? So let's be like Jesus. You remember when He was found, got away from His parents, He said, "Don't you know that I must be about the Father's business?" Let's be about the Father's business first. And you'll be surprised how many of the things the Lord will bring into your life at the right time when you're about the Father's business. Not your business, not your way, your will, but His way, His will. So I've said all that to say this, that saying yes, Y2J, to a relationship with Jesus is the all-important first step, the first relationship. If you haven't said that and you're in relationship, you're contemplating relationship, you do not have a foundation that you can build upon. Without Jesus, you don't. You don't. It's shaking. It's shaky. And we must constantly grow and cultivate that relationship. As it says in James 4:8, come close to God. That's our choice, and God will come close to us. And it goes on to say, don't have a divided loyalty. Sell it. Sell out. God wants you to be in relationship with Him and others. That's a part of His sovereign plan and His will. You can grow and serve, and you can make a difference. And when He is first, number one, He'll take you from where you are to where He wants you to be. And I totally believe that's the sweet spot. That's where you want to be as well. And He'll take you there step by step. Relationing all the way. That's a word that I invented, but it's in my computer spell check now. Some of the best friends I have, first of all, my best friend is the Lord. But some of the best friends I have, other than my wife, it's not that we just have fun and enjoy and being together, but there's confidentiality. I could tell them anything and it'd never go any further. And we do some serious God talk and praying together as well. And those things are so many times so conspicuously missing from relationships that could be so much better.